Good morning. Welcome to worship today. A very special welcome to our worship guests. We're pleased that we are able to have you in God's house and to share the good news of Jesus with you today as well. There are some returning former members here, so welcome to you. We're glad to welcome you back to God's house and to once again share Jesus with you at St. Mark's. I don't care how motivated you are. I don't care how little sleep you think you need. Fact is, you rob yourself long enough, and your body is going to demand some sleep, demand some rest. Today we are reminded that the same thing happens spiritually. I don't care how strong you think your faith is. I don't care how good you think you've been. There comes a time when our conscience honestly tells us, I need some rest. I can't fight the guilt anymore. I can't fight the fight of faith anymore. I need help. Today, through our lessons, God directs us to Jesus, who gives us true spiritual rest, rest for our souls. In the sermon for today, we'll see what happens if we try looking for rest in other places, some of the pros and cons, and in the end, thank God that he directs us back to Jesus, where we do find rest. The order of worship this morning is printed for you completely in the worship booklet, and we open with our opening hymn, hymn 247. Let us worship the Lord.
Thank you.
worship continues on page 3 in the service booklet. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. For all that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise.
Lord, our Lord, how glorious is your name in all the earth. Almighty God, merciful Father, you crown our life with your love. You take away our sin. You crown with our spirit. You make us pure.
Let us pray. O God, you rule over all things in wisdom and kindness. Take away everything that may be harmful and give us whatever is good. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first lesson from Deuteronomy chapter 5 is God encouraging his people to find rest, rest that the promised Messiah would one day bring, rest that no work on a Saturday foreshadowed or pictured. The Lord loved his people enough to give them rules to follow, rules that pointed them ahead to Jesus. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest, as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord. The psalm of the day is Psalm 126 on page 7 in the worship booklet. We will sing the psalm responsively by the half verse. Second lesson is recorded in Colossians chapter 2. This lesson will be the basis for my sermon this morning, so I'll have more thoughts to share with you on it at that time. St. Paul wrote, "I want you to know how much I am struggling for you, and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature,
not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 2. The Lord reminded us in the first lesson that his rules are important until those rules replace him and replace the rest that is truly found only in Jesus. Jesus shares with us a practical example. On one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, David entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 190.
Thank you.
to you who stand holy and blameless before God through faith in Jesus, your Savior. Have you ever got so wrapped up in something and so consumed by improving something? You want it bigger, you want to make it better, that you finally get something bigger, but you're not quite sure that it's better because it's not quite sure what you were hoping for in the first place? Some people will say that that's exactly what happened to McDonald's. McDonald's started off as a nice burger joint, and then in the pursuit of a bigger and better burger franchise, they certainly got bigger, but they don't know if McDonald's burgers got any better. In fact, some people will argue that you don't even get a burger at McDonald's anymore. And I'm not sure if I'm there with them, because on certain days, nothing is better than a number two. A number two, no onions, and a high C orange. It really does it for me. However, in the pursuit of a bigger, better burger franchise, they kind of lost the burger joint feel and maybe the burger joint burger. Other people will make the same argument about the local hardware store. In the pursuit of more sales, a franchise, maybe the local hardware store has lost its identity completely. And maybe somebody is able to offer more products right at your fingertips throughout the entire country. And maybe it's nice to go pop into a big hardware store and get whatever you want almost on demand. Some people will argue that's not their neighborhood hardware store anymore. And nothing can replace the relationship that you used to have with the owner. Because he would know you, he would know your family, he would know how to help you. And if he didn't get it, he would get it for you. It might take you a little while. But in the pursuit of a bigger franchise, did they lose the hardware store completely? We, and by we I mean humanity in general, in the greater Sacramento and Central Valley area, we grow a lot of tomatoes. And I know of a gentleman, he's a master gardener, and he's a master at just about anything he wants to do, he can do it. He once said that in the pursuit of a bigger, better tomato, we have really ended up producing something that is not very tomato-y. Why do you go into the tomato business? Because you have a product, you have a service to offer, and you want to make a living for yourself, and you employ a lot of people, and you want to make some money. And that's all good. And in the pursuit of a bigger, better tomato industry, you want tomatoes that are going to grow faster, that are going to be disease tolerant, that are going to be able to travel on trucks longer and better. But in pursuit of that, what do you get? It hardly looks like a tomato. It fits nicely on your burger bun. But if you try and make a BLT out of it, it's kind of like biting into a soft apple. In the pursuit of a bigger, better tomato, you end up with something that's not quite tomato-y anymore. There were people in St. Paul's day that were in constant pursuit of a bigger, better Jesus. And at the same time, you had a lot of people who desperately wanted Jesus, and they desperately wanted to be a part of the church so badly that they would endure horrible persecutions. They would lose jobs, they would lose family members, they would get thrown in jail because they wanted Jesus so badly and they wanted to be a part of the church so badly. So you have these two groups coming together, and there were people who were saying, okay, you really want Jesus? You really want to be a part of the church? You have to be ready and willing to do two things. One, you have to admit that there's more than just Jesus out there, and you have to be okay with that. And then two, you have to be able to be ready to go after it and get it yourself. They would say things like this, okay, you want to be part of the church? We know, all right, we know Jesus, and we know Paul, and we know Peter, and we know what they taught. We know that Jesus said things like, I have come so that you may have life and have it to the full. We have that in John chapter 10 today. They knew that Paul would say things about faith in Jesus and the power of the gospel. Paul would say things like, the gospel is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. We know that. We have that in Romans 1 today. Maybe they would even quote Peter.
Peter who said, what we have in Acts 4, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. But there's a group of us here in Colossae that have something a little bit bigger and a little bit better than that. And you don't have it right now. And you're never going to have Jesus, you're never going to have church without it. St. Paul tells us that's exactly why he wrote this letter. He said in verse 2, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, that is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. You know, the fine-sounding arguments, this deceptive philosophy, exactly what these people were saying, Paul doesn't share exactly what that was with us because he doesn't want to give them any more airtime or time than he has. Pages of Scripture are precious. There's only so much room in there. And I think that was a good call. Because that would be like in parenting, you know, the latest and greatest things that the kids are all up to, and it's not something you want your kids to do, so you sit your kids down and you say, all right, here's what's going on out there. And you spend like an hour telling them how fun it would be, and how exciting it would be, and how much fun all the other kids are having doing it, but then you say, but it's bad, so don't do it. What do you think your kids are going to do? Paul does the same thing. He doesn't say this, this, and this. He says, let's get back to Jesus. Jesus is the church's supreme defense. He said, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. You can almost hear these people say, you know, what's the big deal, Paul? We're just trying to get to know Jesus better. Because the more we enjoy the world, the more we know Jesus. And the more fun we have, the better relationship we have with Jesus. Besides, don't you get closer to Jesus through forgiveness anyway? So even if we're enjoying something that God says, don't do that, we're getting closer to Jesus by doing it. And not that we are going to spend a lot of time trying to figure out exactly what was going on. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time. You're going to have to work today. You're going to have to take this and apply it to what's going on in your heart today and in your life and in your world today. Because there are some basic general philosophies out there and they're deceptive, but they're exactly what Paul is talking about. Today we have neat little labels for them like materialism. And you think of what that is. You're not giving up Jesus, but boy, you're really guarding your stuff, especially our green stuff, especially our money stuff, because if you give away too much of it, I'm not just talking about church, but if you give away too much of it, are you going to be able to take care of yourself? Sometimes we call it hedonism, right? The pursuit of joy and pleasure. And you're not saying you're giving up Jesus. All you're saying is that sometimes Jesus cramps your pleasure a little bit. And then you're saying, I can get Jesus out on the lake. I can get Jesus out in the woods. I can go get Jesus when I'm having fun. And then I get to know him better as I'm having fun. And it's deceptive, just like it was in Paul's day. They weren't trying to change anything that Peter said. They weren't trying to change anything that Paul said. They weren't even trying to change anything that Jesus said. They were just kind of massaging it a little bit to make it a little bit better, to add a little variety and spice to the congregation at Colossae. And did that get anybody closer to Jesus? No. Did it work? Yeah, it did. Was it a fine-sounding argument? Of course it is. But is it a very hollow and deceptive philosophy? Absolutely. And that's where I wonder if there's any of that that we struggle with today, too. A fine-sounding argument. Maybe it's a fine-sounding argument out in the world, or maybe it's a fine-sounding argument that comes from our hearts, or maybe it's a fine-sounding argument that Satan pitches to you, but I think it works. Because don't we guard our stuff and become very defensive when our stuff comes between us and Jesus and we want both? Or who really wants the helicopter mom type Jesus?
who follows you around 24/7 saying, don't do this, stop doing that, you should be doing this, why are you doing that? Who wants that kind of relationship with Jesus? Do this, don't do that. And don't we like the Plato morality that we get to fashion for ourselves? Because it's kind of like what Jesus tells me to do, and it's kind of how Jesus wants me to think, but it's really more practical for me today, and it really fits my lifestyle, and it helps me enjoy living in the world that we live in. Doesn't Jesus want us to be witnesses in the world? Well, here's how I can best do that. And Plato truth, too. Because just like in Colossae, don't we want a little spice and variety in our doctrine and in our teaching so that more people will like it? It'll taste a little bit better to everyone. When we buy into these fine sounding philosophies and arguments, you know what the dirty little secret is? And the world who might get you to believe one, they're not going to share the secret with you. And your own heart, when your own heart gets you to buy into this, your heart's not going to tell you this dirty little secret. Satan is certainly not going to tell you this dirty little secret. But when we buy into these fine sounding arguments, do they bring us any closer to Jesus? Do they provide any rest for your soul? Do they give you any hope to share with anyone? And when we're buying into these fine sounding arguments, not only are we not growing closer to Jesus, but we are dishonoring his name. And we are leading people further away from Jesus. And we're actually handing him over for something that sounds really good, but in the end, when we really need rest, when we really need Jesus, we're going to have nothing. There was a really good example that Paul brought up. What happens when you take a little bit of truth, a little bit of Jesus, and you just kind of massage it a little bit to make it sound a little bit better, maybe even to give yourself a little bit more credit? St. Paul wrote, in him you also were circumcised in the putting off of your sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Here's the problem. What they were doing in Colossae, they were making these Old Testament laws a replacement for Jesus. They were holding on to the shadow and giving up the fulfillment of the promise. And so they weren't finding rest in Jesus. They were finding rest in this deceptive philosophy that, well, if you only make your worship look like this, and if you only do these things, and if you only show God how good you are and how worthy you are, then you're really going to find rest. But just stop and think how that works. You are trying so hard to be so good for God, knowing that you're never going to be perfect. There's no rest there. You're going to give yourself an out, and you're going to say, I can go do whatever I want. I can go have fun in whatever way I want because I still love Jesus. But then at the end of the day, you're going to have guilt, and you're going to have to tell Jesus, hey, here's why I did this, and I hope it's okay with you. And you're going to know it's not okay with him. There's no rest in that. Or you're going to go camping, or you're going to go fishing, or you're going to go golfing, or you're going to go do some gardening, or you're going to go spend some time with the kids, or whatever it is to try and take your mind off of it, but it's all going to come back in the end, and there's no rest there. There's no rest trying to convince Jesus why you should be able to have that Plato morality or Plato truth that everybody wants today. St. Paul said, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. Paul said, we really find rest in Jesus. He went on to say, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them,
triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus and the rest he brings is bigger and better than anything we could ever offer God. It's bigger and better than any enjoyment we could ever have in life. It's bigger and better than any material possession or gift from God that we could ever have in this life. It's better than playing the game of trying to make up new rules and morals for yourself and tell God what should really be in the Bible. In Jesus, we find true rest. We find our sins forgiven. Paul said, "Do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." You don't need circumcision, he told them. You don't need to try and do. You don't need to try and find that perfect way to worship. You don't need to come in on a Sunday morning and cross off every little detail of worship. You don't need to go home and find, okay, Ten Commandments, I'm going to keep these perfectly for God today so that he loves me back. It's all been taken care of by Jesus. And that's where we find rest for our souls. And that's where we find true enjoyment in the stuff that God gives us and in the pleasure that we can find in life. Because sometimes we look at it backwards and we think, okay, if I buy into Jesus, if I forget these philosophies over here, and if I buy into Jesus, I'm not going to have any fun and I'm going to give away all my stuff. And it's absolutely not true. Once we realize that it's not my stuff or Jesus, that first I get Jesus, then I see how all the stuff fits into my life. And then all my possessions become even more valuable because they're gifts from God. They're not my enemy to God anymore. And having fun, buying into Jesus 100% really sets us free. Because then you're not standing before God someday, okay, well, I did 50% for you and 50% for myself. I gave you 50% and I kept 50% for having fun over here. Instead, you buy in 100% and you realize God does not want me to be miserable under these rules. He wants me to be happy and he wants me to enjoy life. And there's some things that are off limits for me and I'm going to enjoy not doing them, and then I'm going to have so much more fun living the way God tells me to. And when we're not playing games with the truth of God's word, then it becomes something to embrace, and then it becomes something that I enjoy sharing. And what's missing? It's that struggle to find rest. It's that struggle to find peace. Because we find it in Jesus. St. Paul said, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness." And here's what Jesus did with any of our sins and failures and weaknesses. "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." Your stuff cannot give you that rest. Having fun cannot give you that rest. Trying to find morals that match up with what you want does not give you that rest. We find rest knowing that in Jesus we have full and free forgiveness. We find rest knowing that in Jesus we are worthy. Regardless of what he is or is not checked off on our checklist to do for God, we are worthy because Jesus checked off every box. We find rest in Jesus because we know that our shame was crucified with him on the cross. St. Paul says Christ is the church's defense against any deceptive philosophy, against any hollow arguments, even against showy ceremonialism that might invade the church and worship and our minds thinking we need to do for God. We find rest in Christ. St. Paul wrote, "My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, that is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So don't settle for something bigger and better and a little less tomato-y. Don't waste your time in a pursuit of a bigger, better Savior, because in the end, you're not going to find it. St. Paul said, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." May God defend your hearts and minds today, and put your hearts and minds at rest today in Christ. Amen. Please stand.
May we be encouraged in heart and united in love as the Holy Spirit continues to draw us to our Savior and unite us in Christ. Amen. We take a moment to encourage one another and to witness our faith together with the words of the Nicene Creed. They are printed on page 10 in the service booklet.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we gather the offering. In our prayer of the church this morning, we've been asked to remember our sister in the faith, Mrs. Kathy Taylor, who was hospitalized at the end of last week to deal with some pain that she was experiencing. They got it all worked out, and she is now at home. And so she'll be taking a few days off in the office, and we'll ask that God will bless her to relieve her of her pain. We'll also ask that God will bless our voters' meeting this afternoon, and that God will bless our upcoming 50th anniversary celebration coming up a week from today. Let us pray. Almighty God, heaven and earth are full of your glory. All the stars, the sun and moon, all energies and forces, the sea and all clouds are messengers of your wonder and might. For your creation, we praise you, O Father. We pray for your church and for your people. Grant us missionaries and teachers who are led by your Spirit and earnestly hold forth your word of life. Save us from all false prophets and deceitful guides, that we, being knit together in love, may with one mind strive for the truth of your word. Please guard and defend our homes, that parents may be kept in the bonds of love and rule their children well, nourishing them in truth and righteousness. Bestow your favor on all useful labor in industry and agriculture, education and science, the professions and the arts, that in their advancement your people may prosper. We pray for all who may be ill in body, mind, or spirit, for all who may be in danger, for all who may be in anxiety or perplexity, for all who may be suffering disappointment or defeat. Please be present with them in their afflictions, show them the way out of all their troubles, and save them for your mercy's sake. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you guided our sister Kathy through a difficult time. We thank you that you enabled the doctors to see what was causing her pain and to treat it. We ask that if it is your will, continue to relieve her of her pain and help her to rest and to recover well so that she can continue to serve us in the many valuable ways, invaluable ways that she does. Above all, we thank you that you have kept her close to you through your word and through your promises. Dear Heavenly Father, we are truly humbly thankful for the task of being entrusted with ministry here at St. Mark's. We ask that you be with everybody who attends our congregational meeting this afternoon. We thank you for the many people who have agreed and volunteered to be leaders here at St. Mark's. We ask that you bless us and also our ministry through the decisions that are made and the information that is shared. And finally, dear Heavenly Father, 50 years is truly a gift. It's a grace. It's a blessing from you. We thank you for being able to be about your business for 50 years here at St. Mark's. If it is your will, we ask that you continue to be with us and to grow our ministry and strengthen us all through word and sacrament at St. Mark's. We ask that you would bless everybody who travels here with safety and safe travels. We ask that you bless the message that they will share and bless the celebration that we have, all to give glory and honor to your name. Dear Heavenly Father, you did not spare your own Son, but freely gave him up for us all. Mercifully grant these and all other acceptable petitions that you read in our hearts also. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. We are about to begin the Holy Communion portion of our service. Scripture teaches that when we receive Holy Communion, we receive Jesus' true body and true blood, and that receiving Holy Communion together is a public statement that we are completely united in everything that we believe and teach. For those reasons, we invite to Holy Communion this morning those who have had opportunity to make such a public confession of unity with St. Mark's through membership here at St. Mark's or through membership in one of our sister congregations of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. If you are a worship guest this morning and have not yet had the opportunity to review what we believe and teach at St. Mark's, but would like to commune here in the future, please speak with me at a time that works well for you. I would be happy to further explain our communion practice and also begin working toward that common confession and unity of faith. Our worship continues on page 12 in the service booklet with our preparation for the sacrament. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
thank God for having fed us with his word this morning, as well as through the supper this morning. We do so with the song, Thank the Lord, on page 16. Please stand. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We close with hymn 332.
Thank you.
Good morning again to everyone, and may the good news of Jesus send you on your way at peace with God, as his child, as you live with him confidently. And do remember to find rest in him in the week ahead as well. Again, welcome to our worship guests. If it works out, I'd be able to be happy to visit with you one more time in the lobby and connect with you and to see how we might connect you more to the love of Jesus through the ministries that we offer. I would enjoy discussing that with you. If not today, perhaps in the week ahead. As I mentioned, Mrs. Taylor was in the hospital and she is at home, so that means that things in the office have been chaotic without her presence. That means that you may very well have called into the office and nobody got back to you. If that happened, would you please come talk to me? I tried the best I could to get as many messages off of her phone as I could, but I may not have gotten yours. Or if you know someone who did, please let me know so that we can help you and get your questions answered and get everything taken care of. We're going to call in some reserves until Kathy gets the okay. She's supposed to be at home resting. And until she gets the okay to come back, we'll do our best to get everything covered. So please be patient and really reach out to communicate with me and Pastor Stray directly if you need something. I have a few highlights from the announcement sheet to share. Again, because she wasn't in the office, there are some things that did not make the announcement sheet. One of them is a Vacation Bible School announcement. Will you help me verbalize that announcement, please? Okay, if you can help with Vacation Bible School, or if you want to help with VBS, but not necessarily during the week, on evenings and on weekends, you can help do some prep work, especially with crafts and decorations. So please speak with Trish Peterson, and she can set you up with a job that does not have to do with any children. And that does not take up your time during the weekday. So please speak with Trish Peterson about that. Also, Tree of Life Bible Camp is coming up. The deadline is technically passed for applications to come in, but we are still taking them. The sooner that you get your applications in, the better we can help plan and prepare for camp. If you would like to make a donation, a scholarship, to get as many of our kids to camp as possible, please speak with me and I can tell you how you can go about doing that. There's going to be a special anniversary work day this Saturday, so we can spruce things up before our big celebration. There's a sign-up sheet back by the sign-up sheet section in the lobby, so please let us know that you can come, and we'll make sure that everybody who wants to has a job, and we can get things all squared away and looking nicely. Also, please sign up for the anniversary dinner or let Debbie Avalalamont know that you're coming if you have not done so already. We're getting to that point where we really need to finalize planning, and so keep that on your radar. Those are the announcements that I have, with the exception of please adjust your schedules to come to the voters' meeting this afternoon. If it's not on your agenda, maybe do what you need to get it there. I would enjoy seeing you, and I would appreciate your support and your input at that meeting. Please feel free to visit with one another before you are ushered out.